forever. Dog.
She's more than a toy. She's family. This week on the podcast, Megan. Hello and welcome to an episode of Teen Creeps, the podcast that talks about YA pulp fiction from the 80s and 90s. But I just mentioned that we are covering something that's from now, the movie Megan. And I am joined by, I mean, it's a movie, so you know who it is. It is our movie aficionado. Oscar Montoya is here.
Hi, Kelly.
Oh, we're here.
My
2023,
God.
The three. In 2023 stands for Megan.
Megan. Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is Megan's years, babe. This is Megan's year.
I am fully, like, I am a different person. Like, I thought that perhaps the hype was too much. I was a little afraid. And I was like, I don't know, guys. Truly, I was cracking up the entire time during this movie in, like, a delighted way. This movie, there are going to be spoilers. I mean, I get, like, so what are the spoilers? Just, like, that we all know. I mean, the conceit of the show, of the movie, is what you see in the trailer. She's a doll.
Yeah.
That comes to life, or is alive, and, you know. But stop what you're doing and see this movie. My entire theater was cracking up the entire, like, full of joy, so happy. Did you like this movie?
It was so incredible. Again, to your point, Kelly, this was so overhyped. And listen, as a gay man, mm-hmm. I feel like Megan's marketing was specifically targeted towards the gay. It was mm-hmm. gays. It was very much like, hey, are you gay? You'll love Megan. And I was like, Am I? I'm an Aries, so I'm like a bit, I'm like, no. Y'all zig, I'm a zag. I'm a zag.
Contrarian, you know? A little contrarian.
Yeah, okay. A little contrarian. And sure enough, that shit spoke to my gay DNA. It was so campy. It was
the
so,
camp,
oh my God.
Was
camp factor
off the
out of
charts.
Yep.
Literally so many of the shots, I was laughing so hard with joy. Like every time they show Megan sitting in the car with just her eyes showing, I was dying.
That scene where where that little boy gets killed?
Question mark, exclamation mark.
Unbelievable. And then they're like, the cops are talking to the mom, and then there's a shot of Megan staring back in the car. I'm like, come on now. What?
Every
I don't know
time.
If the director is gay, but there was some gay-ass sprinkles this all over this movie.
Extremely gay movie.
Mm-hmm.
I also, like, loved... So, also, Megan's outfits. When she does the day-to-night look and shows up at the camp, like, the weird school...
With that jacket. Going,
the dark peacoat thing with the sunglasses. I was like, Megan.
Megan should have a style account. Like, she should be like, she's a fucking... Megan's an influencer, let's be real.
True influencer.
She's an influencer. She knows
okay.
what's up.
So, there were many moments in this movie, too, that I thought were the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. One being... So, there's multiple scenes in which Megan does sing to the little girl.
Okay, Kelly, can you please relay to the teen creeps... What our exchange was, our text exchange.
Yes,
was.
I'll pull it up right now. Pulling up the documents. Okay. Okay, literally. Oh, wow. I just saw the last picture I just sent you.
That's for our eyes only.
That's for our eyes only. Okay. So I said, question for you. Have you seen Megan? And if so, would you want to guest co-host Teen Creeps with me and talk about it before Wednesday anytime, really? And you said, I saw it last night. OMG, yes, I would love to. Blah, blah, blah. Then there's some scheduling stuff. And then I said, we see you tomorrow. I'm so excited. You said, just wait till you see the movie. I think it was made for us. I said, I'm trembling. Cannot wait. And you said, all I will say to you is this. And then on its own text, in quotes, titanium. And I was like, what is this? So I was like, oh my God, what can this mean? I can't wait. Oh my God. Then
I'm crying. Then I'm literally crying.
6 hours go by and I text you all caps. Titanium. I died, a perfect movie. And then you said, titanium, exclamation, exactly what the universe needs. When she started singing, literally, friend of the show, Ryan Mogi, was sitting next to me and goes, because she starts and she's like, bulletproof, nothing to lose.
I gotta say, my brain in real time after hearing her sing the lyrics, my brain really could not comprehend what was happening. I was like, no, these are the lyrics to Titanium. There's no way this doll is singing. She's singing Sia and David Guetta's Titanium. Okay, Titanium. Wow. Oh,
and she is titanium. She's singing about herself.
That's the thing. She is titanium. She is bulletproof.
Dude, and like the camp in this movie, you guys, because that's the other thing. Like, I feel like so many movies try to go for camp, not fully understanding what camp is. Mm-hmm. This is camp. Everyone is trying so hard. Like, the thing is, it's not like, wink, I'm making a bad movie. It is like fully like, we're going to commit to this. It is, you recognize it when you see it, and that's what it is. And she, the moment I was laughing so hard, okay, they're like, we need to demonstrate this doll. So we're going to use the niece of the woman who designed the doll, whose parents are recently dead.
Right.
She sits down, she starts crying, and the doll's like, what's wrong? And she's like, it's just that I'm so sad because like my parents died, and like I'm afraid I'll forget them. And the doll's like comforting her, and it's like kind of touching, and like the people, and like the people watching, the like investors or whatever, are like kind of becoming moved. And then she starts singing, not Titanium at this moment. She sings a different, I think, an original piece.
But that's the crazy thing. Yes. She sings an original piece. There's lots of original songs in the movie. And then for her to pull out
Titanium. Because I did laugh really hard when she did sing that first time that room. I mean,
that's a camp. I mean, that's camp. Was fun already on its own. But then
she Titanium brought it to the next level. I couldn't with the Titanium. It was... And then they're
people weeping.
There are people, everyone's crying. And they're like, wow, this is really going to change the world. Man. That, I also laughed really, really hard. I thought one of the best performances of the century, the white cop that shows up 3/4 into the movie. First of all, the second he showed up,
the detective.
Yes, the detective with the tiny, tiny notebook and the little pen. I was like,
literally, that image alone, it's like, They were in on the joke. They must have. Like, this is a comic.
The way he was lit, it was as if they were like, this is the new main character. Like, I was like, who is this?
And see, listeners, Kelly would know. Kelly's the director.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. I was noting some intentional lighting. It did seem like this was... Have you seen the movie Empty Man?
No. What is that?
Okay. I would say, and I talked about it on this show? I would say that movie, the cold open of that movie, is a perfect short film. And it's super cool, super creepy. It's like, these people are in the woods. I'm sorry. They're like in like Nepal on like a mountain. They're hiking. And one of their members falls through the ground into like a cave and like isn't responding. And they're like, oh my God. So they make their way down into the cave, discover him. He's kneeling, mesmerized in front of this like many armed, many ribbed skeleton that's like embedded in the wall. And he's just staring at it. And they're like, whoa, that's weird. And they're like, hey, buddy, you okay? And he's just staring. They bring him back to the cabin, and then scary things happen in the cabin. And it's great. And then after the cold open, all of a sudden it is like a crime drama in Philadelphia or something. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah. And you're like on this cop, and he's like, oh, I can't keep doing this. And you're like, who is this? But that was the feeling I was having where I was like, oh, is this the movie now? Like this random cop. But okay, the moment that I laughed so hard with him was when he's like, that boy's ear got ripped clean off. Sorry, I shouldn't have laughed.
And you know he improvised that line. You know no one wrote that line.
So fucking funny. I'm sorry I shouldn't have laughed. So funny. Truly.
The way he said it too was like he tossed it aside.
It's just thrown away. It's thrown away. And that's what makes
it
funny.
And you never see him.
We never see him again. And that's camp.
That's camp. If you are lighting someone as a lead for him to say an improvised line and you never see from again, that's camp.
That's camp.
That is camp.
It was that I laughed so, so hard. Okay, I want to say a moment.
Oh, God.
There was a moment that... well, in the viewing experience, so everyone in the theater is laughing, laughing, laughing throughout the whole movie, right? There is a pit of silence directly behind me.
Okay. Throughout the whole thing?
Yeah, someone who is not laughing the whole time, okay?
Not an ally.
Well, get this. I think they didn't understand what was happening in the movie because then... In the scene where she's literally just finished dance fighting, right? She's dancing, she rips off the paper cutter, she stabs the boss.
Yes.
Steps into the elevator, everyone's still laughing. This guy loses his cool that's behind me. And he goes, "It's not funny."
What?
And everyone just starts laughing harder because it's like, what part's not funny? Literally a dancing doll just killed this man in an elevator. Like, what part's not funny? But he was so mad. Like, I think he was stewing throughout the whole movie, thinking, like, I can't believe people are laughing at this movie.
Okay, Kelly, can I just say something? You know what this reminds me of?
What?
Have you seen a documentary called Best Worst Movie?
Yes. Was it the director?
Yes! When the director goes to a screening of Troll 2 and is, like, in real time realizing that his movie is a joke and he gets so furious. Maybe the person you were sitting in front of was the director.
Who was furious and couldn't hold it in anymore and was like, this isn't funny. And everyone, like people just laughed harder. Like people, they were just like, what? It is funny. Like she literally just finished dance murdering a man.
He's probably like, and I meant to direct this as a series. Like, I wanted you guys to be all scared.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This movie was so funny, 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 and really satisfying in the way that a lot of slashers are, where you see someone doing something and you're like, oh, you're going to fucking die.
Neighbor.
And then they do.
For example.
Hmm?
The neighbor, for example.
The neighbor.
Everything is telegraphed so obviously.
So obviously. But in such a fun way.
And which it like harkens back to like the early like 90s, late 80s like B horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movies are back, baby. And if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time? What's the best Godzilla movie of all? What's up with John Cena? Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from. What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars? Hint, it's the name of 2 months, and they ain't close together. Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Ys. Movies, Baby!
You know, a lot of Megan reminded me of a Wes Craven movie called Deadly Friend. Have you seen this
movie? I'm going to write that down. I have not seen this movie.
Oh my God. It's amazing. It is, it's a movie about, it's actually very bonkers. And it features one of the best kills in the history of horror movies. Listeners, I'm talking to all you creeps out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not seen Deadly Friend, watch it for that one scene. Truly, it's great. It's about this guy who creates this robot.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to Bruce, actually. They've got like a weird, similar vibe. Mm-hmm. And the he like moves to this suburban town, meets this girl who, actually, she's a very famous actress or a model. I don't remember. Her dad like abuses her. She ends up dying. Like, her dad kills her.
Oh, my God.
And the guy finds her body and then puts the computer's brain in her body to bring her back to life. So she's this amalgamation of robot and human.
Yeah.
But she goes on a killing spree.
Cool.
And it is truly incredible. I don't want to say, like I told you, Kelly, anyone, y'all better watch Deadly Friend. And the thing that I'm going to say, my titanium for this movie is basketball.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's all we got to say. Okay. Okay. Basketball. I'm going to watch it and I'll text you when I've seen it.
Please do. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Megan reminded me of Deadly Friend in the way that's like the satisfying horror movie that's like literally, like honestly, incredibly basic.
Yeah.
Like Megan ain't trying to be highbrow. She ain't trying to be something that she's not. Megan's a basic girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's very basic. And I mean, we love that about Megan.
Like truly, I was looking at the credits and it's like written by, it's a female screenwriter.
Genius. By a genius.
A genius. And then it was like story by James Wan. And I was like, James, story by, I was like, what, this robot like got too smart and killed people? Come on. Come on.
He was, okay. They were doing a pitch session and James was just reading the Child's Play letterbox review and they thought it was his actual pitch and they were like, great, thank you, story by James Wan. I was like, well, yeah, sure. It was
okay, Aleka Cooper or Aleka, I'm not sure.
Amazing.
Aleka Cooper, she was the screenwriter of Malignant.
Stop
right
your
now.
Tales. Are you
Let's
serious?
See here. Yes. And then her shows that she's written on American Horror Story, Asylum, Marvel's Luke Cage, Grimm, Chambers, all this tracks, which is of each end, East End. She's been nominated for an NAACP Image Award. She's also written a lot of books. Wow.
Wait, she's okay, a queen of color, wrote yes. Megan.
Busy woman,
Who
too.
Would've thought?
Oh, wrote The Nun 2. Hellfest. Wow. Okay, she's busy.
What's her name is Aleka Cooper?
Mm-hmm. So apparently the original script, they shot it to be rated R. And then went in editing, they were like, you know what? This is pretty close to PG-13.
Yeah.
And we can, like, we could get away with getting a PG-13 if we just, like, recut some stuff.
Yeah.
And then they were like, actually, like, having some of this horror be off screen, like, is pretty effective. And so... And I love a PG-13 horror.
Megan didn't need to be rated R.
Yeah.
Like what? Like, yeah, I don't know. I thought the deaths were really great. Like we didn't get to see a lot of the deaths, but like our imagination is doing a far better job, I think.
Yeah. It was great. Oh my God. And then that one, like the promo video of the boss, like interviewing the little girl. And then he was like, and our Megan doll can be beneficial to your children, even if they don't have dead parents. Like, it was so funny.
Wait, the thing that I'm going to say about Megan, here's my weird take about Megan.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the casting in Megan
is
really wrong, like incredibly wrong in a way that adds a lot
of
the camp factor.
Yes.
Like, for example, the boss.
Yeah.
I would say... Wrong for the movie, wrong for the part, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the take here? Like, why did this guy get the part? But in that wrongness works so well in that movie. Another example, Brian Jordan Alvarez, who plays like the techie guy.
Yes.
And
talented character actor.
Very talented.
Very talented.
If you're not following him on social media, do it now.
Yeah.
I have a really funny Brian Alvarez story. So Brian and I were on the same, our very, very first mod team at UCB back in 2015. We both got placed on the same mod team. It was a brand new team and Brian was already like sort of a big shot at the Groundlings. And this was his like first foray into UCB. Already doing sketch, already doing characters, killing it, knocking it out the park. So he shows up to like, a practice and gauges the vibe of the team. And it's like, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Stop.
And literally left the next day. And you know what? I don't blame him because that was the worst sketch team I've ever been a part of. Ever.
Really?
Ever. And listen, there was some incredible talent on that team. Mm-hmm. The writers were great. The actors were great. But for some reason, we just didn't gel. We had the worst sketch shows ever grace a stage, I think. It just didn't work. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't work. So, you know, power to Brian for knowing when to leave something. You know what I mean?
And you know what? He was promoting Megan pretty hard.
He was.
I was like, you know, He knew.
But again, I would say
that casting was so strange.
Brian is so funny and such a cartoon for him to play like really understated and sort of just like a guy.
Just like
wrong.
This tech
really wrong
guy.
Casting.
Yeah.
But it worked really well, I thought.
Yeah.
You know?
It really did. And like, honestly, even I would say Allison Williams.
That part.
First of all, she was so funny. Like, I would never think, oh, let's put Allison Williams up for this.
Never. I would never, if I were her agent, I would be like, no, don't do this. What are you doing? No.
Exactly. And if I were casting director, I'd be like, we don't need to see Allison Williams.
That part.
But she was so funny. Like, literally in the moment when she's like not wanting to play with the toy, the collectible with the little girl.
Which is, I mean, I'm no toy expert, but that looked like a Bakugan to me.
Okay, I'm sorry. But you were like, I'm no toy expert, but that looked like a limited edition 1999. Available only in Kyoto.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that shit looked like a Bakugan. Like a giant ass Bakugan. If y'all don't know what Bakugan is, you're not a nerd like I am. And that's totally okay. But that looked like a Bakugan to me. And yes, it did. The design was not made to just be rolled around.
Yeah.
But yes, that looked like a Bakugan. Anyway, that scene was hysterical.
That was so funny when like she's like, well, like, why don't you roll it to her? And it's like, it's not really what it's for. And when she says, yeah, sure, I guess we can just like roll it around like it's a tennis ball and just rolls it like. She was so, and when she's like, yeah, sure, I'll open it, and gets out a knife and stabs open the box. Like, I was like, this.
Like, that's a choice. You know
what
I mean?
That's a choice.
But to me, it's so funny because, like, in terms of the directing involved in that, like, was it like, do whatever the fuck you want? Or was it like,
I really don't know.
Or we're just going to let Allison do it. And it's like, this is a take for me. I'm just going to take this.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? I have an idea for something. Do you mind if I take this again? Okay, hold on. I'm going to look at Megan director.
Yeah, who directed this movie?
Gerard Johnstone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else did he do? He did this movie called Housebound.
Okay.
In 2014. I think it also is maybe horror. Let's see.
Okay.
Forced to return to her childhood home after being placed under house arrest where she suspects something evil may be lurking. Yep, that's horror. And then just like very barely anything else, something in 2006, something in 2005, but it seems like these
are interesting.
Not even, yeah, I mean, New Zealand comedic. Oh, is he is he Kiwi?
He's a Kiwi.
Is he? Let's see.
Kiwi.
Gerard Johnstone. Let's see. Yep, he's a Kiwi guy.
Wow.
Great.
I mean,
he was great.
This is opening up his career.
Is he gay? You got to see here.
He must be.
And I mean, I don't want to out the man if he's not.
He's bi-curious. But, you know. I mean, there is some queer.
There's some exploration happening here. Okay. Interesting. Great job. Great job, Gerard. Thought you were great.
I mean, straight up killed it. Also, like, the guy who played the assistant.
Oh, my God. He was so good, too. Everyone was so good, but I would never
put
them up.
I would have never put him in that role.
Yeah. But you know what?
It was, again, the casting... The whole thing with Megan is like the movie's so wrong, it's right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where the queer sensibility comes into play. But it's just so. My question to you, Kelly, is
yes.
Is this done on purpose? Or was the intention like that guy that sat behind you at the movie for it to be spooky ooky?
I think, here's what I think. Mm. I think it was intentionally campy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they could not have accounted for how much people would like find delight and joy from this. I don't know. I mean, I think it's for sure. It was probably written as horror first comedy with jokes in it.
Right.
And I don't think they intended for it to be jokes first with horror. Because to me, this is a comedy
That's a
first.
Good point. Yeah.
Because if you look, on if you Google Megan, it's horror sci-fi. I would say this is a horror comedy.
I see. Yeah. Sci-fi. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess robots. I think that's... Okay, I'm looking at these casting directors. Terry Taylor, Miranda Rivers, and Sarah Domier.
I mean, honestly, legends.
Great work, ladies.
Great. For taking a damn chance.
Okay, get this. So Terry Taylor, she casting directed Crazy Rich Asians, which that guy is in, and he's so funny in Crazy Rich Asians.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So she probably remembered him and was like,
that makes sense.
She also casted Get Out.
Amazing.
So this lady, she knows what she's up to. Let's see what these other ladies are doing here. Okay. Sarah Domier, she's not as prolific. She also did do Crazy Rich Asians. So I think maybe they work together.
Interesting. Yeah.
She did Get Out. Yeah. Okay. So I think they work at the same probably casting agency. Let's see Miranda Rivers here. Miranda, what do you do? Okay. She's a little different. She did really? The Hobbit.
Oh.
Avatar, King Kong. Oh, but okay. I'm looking here. If I look at her, if I Google her, Miranda Rivers, people also search for Annabelle Curry. So I think maybe she's involved with, let's see, IMDb. I'm
gonna look interesting. IMDb.
Megan, let me see if there's anything. Oh, Wellington Paranormal. Is she Kiwi?
She's a Kiwi girl. Oh, she that a Kiwi makes girl? Sense. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm seeing a lot of like stuff I've not heard of, which maybe is more popular in New Zealand. Interesting. The Kiwi connection. Okay.
Trademark that. Trademark spell connection that. With a K. Trademark it.
Kiwi connection. Oh my God.
There's just so much to say. Okay. Right from jump.
Yes.
The movie opens up in a such an unexpected way. You're like, what? What
am I watching? The commercial? I didn't know it was the movie.
Commercial. Same.
It was so funny.
There was a moment where I was like, is AMC just playing commercials now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what a commercial.
Oh my so God. Funny.
Oh my God.
It's for like basically a Furby that poops, but its teeth are so funny. Whoever did the props for this movie, so
incredible.
Funny. The teeth incredible. On that thing, it's just like human teeth inside of a Furby. And you feed it and then it poops. It poops little pellets.
Would you, and what they're called perpetual.
Perpetual pets.
Perpetual.
Because they never die.
They don't ever die.
Because they could live longer than you. That's what they say. And then
to
there's,
market a toy like that,
yeah,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's
that
very
is
funny.
Fucked up.
Yeah, so funny.
Which one would you get
of the perpetual pets?
Yeah, because there's like a seven of them, and they all have different personalities.
Yeah, and looks.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
There was one that caught my eye. The one with the glasses.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking at these perpetual pets. I'm gonna look at some images here. Oh, no, pet cremations. This is not what I'm looking for. Okay,
Kelly, no.
Megan. Hold on. Perpetual pets, Megan. Okay. Here we go. They're not showing me them. Okay, which one did you like?
I like the one with the glasses, because I'm a big glasses freak. Glasses and the bow tie. The quote-unquote nerd.
Oh, wah-wah. I wonder why the nerd one connected with you when you were like, that looks like a Bakugan to me. I was like, okay, Hector Navarro, what are you...
Roast my ass, Kelly!
Friend of the show did the Elizabeth Frankenstein episode with us. A lovely friend, a lovely
love
person.
Hector.
I love Hector to
and
pieces.
Honestly, I'm flattered.
Yeah, it's flattering. Oh, if someone's saying so like you're funny. A nerd like Hector, like that's really
that's
lovely.
That's a huge compliment. My God.
Yeah.
But again, it's like we're introduced to that world of like. It's a little weird. Like, we're not living in this reality. It's like a slightly skewed, cynical take on the toy industry. And then the jingles were so fun. You know, whoever music supervised this, like...
Great job.
Is there an Oscar for that? Like, can we give Academy Awards to people who are responsible for the music in movies? Because watch my dumbass be like, yeah, there's been a category Oscar. But this is the first time I'm paying attention to the music. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, like... This is a 12 out of 10. This is a home run plus.
Yeah.
For the music supervisor.
The music was so, it was used so well. The little jingles were really good.
Iconic.
The songs that they chose for Megan to sing, because Megan sings three times.
That's it? I felt, she or no, needs to
four,
release an
four,
album.
Four. She sings four, because she sings one time when her face is like half off.
Oh, right.
And she's about to be murdered.
Oh, right. She said... She sings, we need to accentuate the positive.
Accentuate the positive.
Is that a, what song? Where
That's
is that
a song.
From? Is that like a Broadway song?
No.
Old timey. It's some weird old
timey.
Eliminate
song. The negative. Johnny Mercer and, or it's Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Okay.
Yeah. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. That was some Spotify shuffle.
That was. I also think that, like, honestly, the composition of these shots were, I thought this was a beautifully shot movie.
Uh-huh.
It looked really, really good, but also so intense, like so funny. Like when we see, they're like, okay, like Megan can come to the weird school that we're doing. Like the editing, the cuts were so funny.
What is this weird school? Like, describe in the woods. School for me.
Okay. They go to the woods. And then they're like, roasted chestnuts. Let's go find some. I was like, where? At the store? Roasted chestnuts? You can't find those in the woods?
It seemed like you could get them anywhere because those kids were going gaga over the roasted chestnuts.
But it's basically like just a bunch of kids in the woods who are like homesteading, I guess, like, and they're like led, but then like parents can stay and help if they want. Like, that was confusing. I like that it was purposely vague and they were like, we're just not even gonna explain what this fucking school is.
Yeah.
Cause it was very weird.
It was very strange.
I did like, the cuts were really funny. Two in that location were really funny to me. One was, when they were like, okay, fine, Megan can come as long as she goes on the toy table. And then we cut to Megan in her little black pea coat sitting with the toys. But she's like, the way she's squished in between them, and they're all bright pastel colors. And she's like wearing this black dress. She really stands out. And then the other cut that I thought was really funny was like, they, the mean boy bully that gets murdered. Eventually.
Oh my gosh, this kid. There was no redeeming aspect of this kid.
No.
At all. This kid, we wanted that kid to get hurt.
That kid had to go. Because honestly, Megan was right. She said bad boys turn into bad men. And I was like,
she knows.
Honestly,
she knows
with the way
up.
The mom is, yeah, he's going to be a bad man.
That mom!
And that was the cut that made me laugh so hard because it was like, we see him bullying the little girl and he like puts a spiky thing in her hand and squeezes her hand. And she's like, ow, stop, stop, stop. And he's just being a real psycho and like chasing her and then trying to hurt Megan. And then we cut to Allison Williams and this mom. And the mom is like, yeah, you know, really high IQs mean like that they act out. And so that would make sense because he's really, really smart. And then we cut back to and he's like beating up Megan.
I know. Wait, also, because like that whole scene was insane because that kid grabbed Megan, slammed her to the ground. Also, she's light as hell. He could pick her up so easily.
I didn't know titanium was so light.
Right? I was like, I'd be struggling to lift Megan.
I know, but that boy, remember when everyone's like, how old is he? Yeah. He's like so big.
He's huge.
Yeah.
But he like straddles her. And for a second, I was like, please,
yeah, I was like, oh, no.
Don't do
but
it.
But he just wanted to beat her up.
He just wanted to beat her up.
So and I guess that's fine.
She comes to life. She grabs him by the ear. And it is the most sickening scene in the whole
that
movie.
That stretch of that ear.
And I'm like, is this, can we fact check this? Like,
yeah,
do
will
ears
it stretch
do
like,
that?
I think it just rips off.
Because, like, it's made out of cartilage. But, like, for it to stretch, you know what? Let me see.
I just tried pulling it.
And it
I
hurt.
Don't think it will stretch. I think it will rip off before it stretches.
Lobes
well, it's not earlobe. It's the top.
What do you call the top of that?
I don't know. Because the earlobe can stretch.
Right.
Yes.
Can ears stretch? Well, no. It's not going to come out. Stretching your ears can... No. No. What? No, not ear gauging. I don't want it. I don't want gauges. Can the top of... Okay. Stand by. No. It doesn't. Well,
no.
Well,
not
it
like
is
that.
It's possible, but it would be really hard to do. Eek. Yikes. Ugh.
But it's like stretching so far, and then she eventually does rip it off.
Oof. The whole ear. Yuck.
The whole ear. And then he has to run away from her, because then she goes sicko mode on him.
Oh, my God.
Gets
she does
on all
like,
fours.
Oh, my God. She's like truly a horse girl. Literally.
Like predator mode, all fours chasing him. And he's running, running, running. Then he falls down a hill into the street, immediately gets runned over. Dead, dead, dead.
When they put his damn foot in the body bag,
oh my God.
I was like,
I laughed so hard.
They really went there. Holy crap. Wild.
Also,
wild.
Like, the timing of stuff was so campy and so funny. Like, when the cop comes over after the neighbor has been murdered, and he's like, and Allison Williams answers the door, and she's like, oh, I already told you I don't know anything about her dog. You might have to just ask her. And he's like, well, that's going to be a little bit hard. And then they both look, and they're, like, putting the gurney in, like, right then. We're like, what's the timing on
it's
this?
It's funny. It's funny.
So good.
I absolutely lost my mind when Megan reaches for the arrow
in
the neighbor's yard and gets viciously attacked by the dog. And then, like, the girl gets bit. And they're talking, and then you see Megan talking, and her hair's
she has all fucked up. Her hair is so messed up. And she's just like talking.
God damn it. It's so funny. Like,
so funny.
On. You must have known. Like, again, the editors killed it.
The editors really killed this. I'm going to look at who edited this movie.
Oh my God. It's just so funny. It's so freaking funny.
Jeff McAvoy. Let's see what else he's done.
Oh, any relation to James McAvoy?
I don't think so. I think I said McAvoy, but I think that's not. It's McEvoy, maybe?
Yeah, isn't that how you spell it? Maybe not. Who knows?
I guess so. Let's see what else he's done. Get this man more work.
He's about to get more work.
About to, yeah. Look, last thing he edited before Megan was in 2020. He's great.
Mm-mm. Let's get this man a job.
He edited the Lincoln Lawyer in 2011.
Okay, we need to get this man a job.
And Underworld Awakening in 2012. This guy's such a good editor. It was so funny.
He was so good.
He, like, editors make a movie a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And, get this also. The little girl that is in this movie is the sister of the little girl in Black Phone.
No.
Yeah, they're sisters.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. The Black Phone was great.
I loved the Black Phone. We've talked about it. I wanted more of what's his name because he was camp.
He was camp.
Also hot, right? We talked about that. He's hot.
Oh, did we? Oh,
yes, we did. Okay,
that
I remember
one
this.
Scene. Woo!
Ooh, when he's being a freak in that chair, I was like,
We want him to stay a freak, you know?
Yeah. More freaks, 2023.
He made a cameo in the Glass Onion, and I was like, why you got a shirt on?
I know. I was like, we've seen you.
Take
shirt off.
That shirt and be creepy. And then,
yes,
then you
please.
Got my attention. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay. That's crazy. Because that little girl. Okay. Can we talk about that little girl?
Yes. Movie?
Who? What's the name of that girl?
Let's see. Megan.
Katie?
Katie. Yeah. That's her name in the movie.
She was really great.
She was great.
She was
so good.
Fantastic. I will say she'd be looking like the daughter in Twilight.
Renesmee.
Her and Megan both.
Yeah.
Both
of them
like
look
Renesmee.
Like that. Both of them look like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I looked up the police detective is Millen Baird, the man who had the tiny little notebook.
Okay. What else has he done?
Let's see. Like, he was in Housebound.
Oh, okay.
Which was also. So he's, I bet, Kiwi,
he's
also
part of the fam.
Friend of the director. Mm. I bet the director was like, hey, you want to do this bit part? And
that
then he
is amazing. Come on.
Yeah. And then he probably, because he's been in things, but they're mostly TV movies, TV series. And it seems like, a lot of, so he's Kiwi.
Okay. I love.
I was like, who is this like fake Colin Firth guy? Okay.
He did really look like he was going to be a bigger part. I thought he was going to solve the case. Never see him again. And whoa. See, that's what you do. That's what you got to do. If you got a bit part, you got to stand out somehow.
You got to stand out.
That is the tiniest notepad ever.
It's so small. It's so funny. His little pen is very tiny. That's what she's from. Okay, that little girl plays young Nell in Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, snap. You're right.
She gets a lot of work. She was in Black Widow. She plays young Yelena.
Oh,
she does look like her.
Yeah.
She's in Doctor Sleep as well. Violet.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
She does a lot of genre stuff.
If you need a little girl.
She's your girl. Oh my God.
She's your girl. Wow.
She's great. She was so good.
She was incredible. Cause like it required a lot. Like she had to be like this, cute girl going through a loss. I mean, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
And also a bit petulant.
when she was sort of fiending for Megan. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So, she was fiending for Megan.
Oh, she was great. She was believable.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't like easy. Super overacty. She was good.
And like, I can't imagine. I don't know what it was like to. I'm sure that she acted with like a person in a costume, or maybe not. So, maybe I don't know what.
I think because we were talking about this after we left the movie because everyone was abuzz with excitement as we left the movie. Okay, so Megan Voice is Jenna Davis. Megan herself is played by Amy Donald.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a girl, probably wearing a wig, and then maybe I think they
put a mask on her.
Yeah, or like, did a mask that then CG'd.
Ah, okay, that a makes face. Sense. Though. I see.
I think.
Okay. No, you're right.
Let's see. Yeah, because she was just in, she's just been in a few other things. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just saw a still of her standing on the top of the frickin' hill wearing her black pea coat.
Oh God, it's so good. It's
oh
so
my
good.
God. Guess what?
What?
Kiwi.
What?
She's okay. A Kiwi.
It's a wait, but was this shot in New Zealand?
Where was this shot?
I think it was shot in Georgia, or yeah, somewhere.
Did you
Georgia,
see the Atlanta thing?
At I
the
saw
end?
The little peach thing at the end.
Then it was shot in Atlanta, but they brought all those Kiwis over to do it.
Wow.
Okay. Interesting. Who's Jenna Davis?
That name sounds very familiar.
She seems familiar. She's older. She's not a child.
She was great.
She was so good. The she voice was of Megan. Great. She was in a bunch of other things. Oh, she was in Infinity Train.
Oh, really?
And in Vampirina. Oh, is she?
She does like voiceover stuff.
She's a voice actor.
Oh.
But then also been in a couple. Yeah, she was a fairy in Sophia the First. Yeah, so she.
Okay.
Oh, she does a lot of work, and she is an adult person.
She's an adult person.
Yes, she's not a child. This movie was stunning. I'm trying to think of other. Really good standout moments.
Okay, here's my one note.
Okay.
That, like, the thing that made Megan such a marketing megastar was the dance. The iconic Megan
dance,
right?
Yes.
Put into context in that movie, it felt out of left field, which is to be expected.
Yes.
But I was like, I wanted to see more.
Me too.
Let's see some more.
I wanted
of that
to
dancing.
Have more punch too.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It just really felt like we got to stick this in somewhere. Oh, let's put it here. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, let's see more of this stuff.
I wanted it to feel a little bit more intentional. I felt the same way. It just left me feeling like, oh, I wanted a little more.
Yeah.
I will also, this was another thing. It's not a note per se, but it was more of a question.
Okay.
At the very beginning, when they're like putting Megan together and they're trying to do a demonstration of her for the boss because he catches them basically, and then her face blows up because he forgot to put in this like thing, the barrier. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was very Chekhov's gun to me. I was like, why aren't we like that? I thought was going to pay off.
Oh,
but it was just that it wasn't finished.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Because I was like, oh, that's how she'll be defeated eventually.
Right.
Is that like something with this coolant or whatever is not going to work and then it'll explode.
Right. But I sort of did like, I did enjoy the having Bruce come back.
I liked that Bruce.
Way.
Yes. I liked that Bruce came back. Because I was like, when they show up back in that workroom and she's getting beat up by Bruce. I mean, I'm sorry, by Megan, when Allison Williams is getting beat up by Megan. I was like, oh my God, I really hope that someone uses Bruce to defeat Megan.
Right. That just felt like, that was going to happen. And I'm glad that it did.
Me too.
And I'm also glad that like there was still a little bit more to that death. I do like that Megan felt like a Final Fantasy character, like a final boss that was like constantly evolving, right?
Yeah.
You had your chance. And also there's like a weird correlation between Chucky and Megan. I know that they're having like, Twitter beef, which is silly, but like the scar in Chucky was very similar to like the Megan's like being chainsawed, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ooh, when Megan got chainsawed in the face, I was like, woo!
Right?
That was cool. And then her hair, and then when she's like, wow, I really didn't want you to have to see this, but oh well. Dude, the pen thing. Okay, do you see this pen?
Oh my god.
The second time I was like, props to on you, Megan, for not falling for that shit again.
Right.
When she's like, not again, you know.
It was so good. And then like the she was great. She was like doing voices of her friends.
Dude, okay.
Sinister. Sinister.
When she, I loved the hint planting. So when we first see Megan, she's like reading a book and doing like a British man's voice for the book for the little girl. Then, so she's like seeing the dog and she's like hearing, like she's observing. She observes Allison Williams basically saying like, this dog keeps attacking my niece. And it keeps coming in my yard. And the woman's like, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. And right. Megan is like, she looks at the dog and you're like, oh, that dog's going to fucking die. And then when the dog is outside and then we hear the imitated neighbor calling the dog and even the clap. My
gosh. It's
Everyone was like, oh, my God. And that
even that scene where she's like looking for that dog and then she goes to the shed and she makes the dog sounds and you see her sort of like rise up. Chills.
So cool. And she kills her with the chemicals that she was spraying all over the house.
Nothing was spared, Kelly.
Yeah,
everything
I loved it.
Everything was used. It is really fun. It's like a fun, dumb horror comedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really is. I really, really recommend it. Get out there and see this movie. Like, please. It will give you joy. Like, in a time when, and I know you said this jokingly, what the universe needed right now, but like, truly, in a time where like everyone is very unmoored and experiencing, like, I feel like everyone's like personal shit is very like bad right now. Yeah. Like, either be it financial, interpersonal, something like, there is something wackadoo happening right now in the world. Take a moment and give yourself Megan. Because. Yes. It's what a stunning film.
It's so great.
So fun. Very dumb, but in a good way.
Yes. It's a movie to bring all your friends and also to watch it with other people.
Watch it with other people.
The guy that sat behind is an experience. Like you should not watch this movie alone. I mean, you'll get a kick out of it, but it's truly the thing that Nicole Kidman was talking about at the beginning of every AMC.
Yes.
We come here for, I don't remember what the fuck she says, but
heartbreak
it's like,
heartbreak feels good
effect.
In a place like this.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So does horror. So does laughing.
Yeah.
It's great. It's perfect.
Yep. It was, I mean, I was filled with so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
That
is so good.
Yeah. It was really good. I really would recommend it. Thank you so much for talking with me about it.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. Kelly, this is my favorite place to be.
I know. So. We love having you. Thank you so much. Where can people find you online?
You can follow me on social media at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram and also on Twitter. But yeah.
Great. So follow him and you can see what Oz is up to.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Please get out there and see Megan.
Please do.
If you want to support our show, patreon.com/teencreeps. Got a lot of really cool stuff on there for you. A very special thank you to our Patreon producers. Thank you, Aaron Fernandez, Adam Howitz, Amanda Kay, Amanda Nangle, Amy T, Ann Dwyer, Caitlin L, Carrie H, Charlie Burns, Christina Descaro, Courtney McPhail, Danielle Lamana, Danny B, Drew Aranis, Ellie Lagos, Emma M, Aaron B, Gabriela Santiago, Gwendolyn Ludovic, Hannah L, Jason H, Jeremy Kronk, Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic, Jessica Smith-Harper, Jesse T, Jessica U, Jonathan Venable, Karen Lewis, Kat Miller, Katie Olsner, Keith Anderson, Kelly Burns, Carrie N, Coy, Landry Desmond, Larry Nguyen, Laura Hooper, Megan Lozier, Melody, Micah Eunice, Miguel Camacho, Miranda Hester, Molly G, Molly Marks, Noah Spargo, Rashad B, Randy Klett, Rebecca Goss, Robert F, Rogue Kalihua, Sasha Gibson, Shannon P, Sylvie T, Victoria Beck, Victoria Gray, and Whitney. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you. Until next time, keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.